Our first reading is taken from Daniel, chapter 10, and reading to chapter 11, verse 1. It can be found on page 895 of your Bible. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was then called Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no food, no meat, or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold round his waist. His body was like crystallite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of a burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of the multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have now come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed my face towards the ground and was helpless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me the strength. So he said, do you not know why I have come to you? Since I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. Our second reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, and reading verses 10 to 18, and it can be found on 1177 of your Bible. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Chris, that's great. Thank you very much for reading that for us. If you'd like to follow along, turn back to the first reading that Chris read for us. In the book of Daniel, on page 895, Daniel chapter 10. And as we start, I want us to think about when church seems boring. I wonder if church seems boring to ye. If you're new to St. Mary's here this morning, obviously we hope that you don't find church boring. We try our best with music and with children's work and to make our meetings interesting and so on. But of course, lots of people in our country think that church is very boring. So boring, they'd never even want to try it. It might be that you've heard of the American billionaire Bill Gates, the Microsoft billionaire. Bill Gates once said, just in terms of using my time, religion isn't very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. Do you see what he's saying? He's just saying it's boring. It's not interesting. It's not useful. Now, maybe you come to church regularly, and if that's you, I guess you do that because it's meaningful to you, and you like seeing people, and you like coming to church. And I guess you would say, well, church isn't boring. And then maybe you'd admit, well, maybe sometimes. Maybe sometimes it's a little bit boring. But what if there is more to church than meets the eye? What if there's something else going on? Well, in this passage today, Daniel sees a glimpse of something supernatural, something very powerful. So let's take a look at it together. We're almost at the end of the book of Daniel now. We've been going through the book of Daniel over these past few months. We've seen that the first half of the book of Daniel is made up of stories about Daniel. And we've seen that the second half it's made up of visions, dreams given to Daniel. Daniel and God's people are living far away from their spiritual home in Jerusalem. They're living far away in exile. And we've seen recently that they've now been allowed to move back to the promised land, back to Israel. And this week and next week, we're looking at the very end of the book of Daniel. We're looking at chapters 10 to 12. And those chapters go together. They form one vision that God gives Daniel. It's the longest vision in the whole book. And the bit we're looking at today is really just the introduction to the vision. But it's quite an introduction. It almost kills Daniel. So let's see what happens. And we're going to see three truths that show us that church is far from boring. And here's the first truth, that God is glorious. God is glorious. And have a look down at verse 1. Daniel chapter 10, page 895. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. So this is the third year since the Persians have taken over from the Babylonians. It's the third year since God's people were told that they could go home. The exile is over. It's brilliant. And some have now gone back. They've made the very long journey back to the promised land of Israel. Some people have stayed. Daniel has stayed. Possibly because he's too old now to make the very long journey. But it seems as though things are not going well for God's people back in the land. Have a look at verse 2. It says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And it seems as though Daniel has heard news. Things are not going well for God's people back in the promised land. You can read about it in the book of Ezra in the Old Testament. And so Daniel prays for them. And he prays hard. He half fasts. And he prays for 3 weeks. So there's no sausages, no Prosecco, no L'Oreal skin products that you'd need in a very hot country. And Daniel prays and he says, what's going on, Lord? The exile is over. So why are your people struggling? What's your plan for them, Lord? And God answers him with an amazing vision. Our passage today is just the intro. You'll have to come back next Sunday if you want to see what God's plan is. But the introduction is amazing enough. Just have a look down at verse 5. Daniel is standing by the great river Tigris. And verse 5, he says, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, white clothing, with a belt of the finest gold round his waist. And this is no ordinary human being, because verse 6, his body was like chrysolite, a gemstone, a precious stone. His face was like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of polished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude, a great crowd. Daniel sees a person with enormous power. His face is shining with blinding brightness. His face is like lightning and his eyes are like fire. And his voice is deafening. He sounds like a football stadium chanting, or it sounds like a great army roaring. This is a person with heavenly power. Now, it's hard to be sure who this person is. It could be that it's a powerful angel. But Daniel's reaction that we see in a few moments seems too strong for that. It seems as though this is someone more than an angel. And in fact, what Daniel sees here is very similar to what the Apostle John sees at the beginning of the book of Revelation in the New Testament. John sees the risen Jesus, and he's described in a very similar way to this man here. So it's hard to be sure, but it seems as though Daniel is seeing God the Son before he became a human being. Now, that might seem a bit odd to you, but remember that God has always been one God in three persons. And it seems as though Daniel is meeting God the Son before he became a human being that first Christmas. Now, that might be wrong. It might be that this, in fact, is just a very powerful angel. But either way, like it says up on the screen, we're seeing that God is glorious. He's very glorious and powerful. And just look at the reaction, verse 7. Daniel says, "I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me didn't see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves." Daniel's friends freak out and they leg it. And verse 8, "I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. And then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground." Daniel is utterly overwhelmed and he passes out. And verse 10, "A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees." He's given heavenly first aid, which helps him a little bit. And then a bit later, he can stand. He's still trembling. And it's no picnic for him seeing God's power. God is glorious. And God has come with a message for Daniel about the future. People react in different ways, don't they, when they meet someone who's very impressive. Amy and I watched a concert on TV a couple of weeks ago. It was a recording of a concert from 1969. It was called the Harlem Cultural Festival. It's called the Black Woodstock. And it was brilliant. And you saw this massive, great crowd of people outside screaming because of the bands, the musicians that were playing, people that they loved, people like Nina Simone and Sly and the Family Stone and Stevie Wonder. And the crowd were just adoring them and screaming for these musicians. We'll take a different example of meeting someone who's very impressive. I once read in the newspaper that when people meet the Queen, just before they meet the Queen, they're quietly taken off to one side and encouraged to visit the bathroom. And the reason for that is some people find it so overwhelming meeting the Queen that they might have an accident. So they're encouraged to use the toilet first. Now think about that for a moment. Think about meeting a very famous musician or meeting the Queen. Daniel here, meeting this man in linen, is in a different category, isn't it? Meeting the Son of God here almost kills Daniel. God is very glorious. Next week, we'll hear the message and we'll see that there would be tough times ahead for God's people. And Daniel and God's people need to know that God is glorious. He's absolutely powerful. He can be trusted through tough times. And you and I need to know the same thing. The church today may face tough times ahead. The Church of England may split in the next few years. It may become much harder to be a Christian in our country over the next few years. And you and I need to know that God is absolutely glorious. We need to know it in our personal lives as well. It might be that there's something difficult for you coming in the future, maybe some illness, maybe concerns about losing your job, maybe bereavements. And we need to know that God is glorious and that we can trust him. That's our first truth this morning. Here's our second truth. God is glorious. Spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual warfare is real. In verse 12, that this man in linen tells Daniel that his prayers were heard as soon as he started praying, and that he, the man in linen, was then sent to Daniel. But verse 13, have a look down, it says, "The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me," the man in linen, 21 days. "And then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there, stopped there with the king of Persia." Now, this prince of Persia seems to be an evil spiritual being. He seems to be a servant of Satan, seems to be a demon. And he's somehow supporting the human kingdom of Persia. And somehow he resists, he fights the man in linen, and Michael comes to help. Michael, we're told later in the Bible, is an archangel, a chief angel. And together, Michael and this man in linen, they fight the prince of Persia. And we're reading this and we're thinking, well, what's going on? But it seems as though Daniel is being shown a glimpse of the spiritual battle that is going on. It's hidden to us. We don't see it. It's invisible. But there is a fierce spiritual war going on. Spiritual warfare is real. And verse 15, Daniel is speechless and he bows to the ground and he's given heavenly first aid again. And that helps him speak again. End of verse 16. Daniel says, I'm overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I'm helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. You might think to yourself, oh, I wish I could see God. But for Daniel here, this is not a fun experience. It's almost killing him, seeing God. And he's given more heavenly first aid. And verse 19, the man in linen replies, don't be afraid, O man highly esteemed. Peace, be strong now, be strong. And Daniel says, when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you've given me strength. And Daniel now has enough strength to hear the message, which we're going to look at next Sunday. Daniel has been given an amazing glimpse into this spiritual battle that is raging. It's like the Apostle Paul said in our second Bible reading earlier. Paul says, as God's people, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Spiritual warfare is real. Now, many of us love watching stories about battles and about war and about heroes. Maybe you love watching Second World War movies, or you love watching sci-fi or fantasy. Amy and I went to see the new James Bond film on Friday, No Time to Die. Don't worry, I'm not going to give anything away. I wouldn't be so cruel. But it was great fun. It's a great film. And many of us love watching films like that. We love watching James Bond films because there's a hero and he's fighting against some shadowy enemy. And there's mystery and there's threat and there's lots of action. And we love going to see films like that or to read stories about things like that because we love the idea of being involved in something like that. It seems exciting and it seems grand and it seems important. And our own lives can feel a little bit gray at times, can't they? And church life can seem weak and it can seem drab and it can seem dull. But you know, that is not true at all. There, in fact, is a fierce spiritual war going on. And Daniel sees a glimpse of it here. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. So don't think that this stuff isn't real. It is real. You can't believe the Bible and not believe what it says about God and Satan and demons and angels. This is real. But at the same time, don't be too interested in it. Some people see an evil spirit behind every door or behind every sin. Don't be too interested in it. But also don't be afraid of it either. God will win. And in fact, through the cross, Jesus paid for sin, and he's already defeated evil. And one day his victory will be clear. We're going to remember that when we take communion a bit later. But as we wait for that day, spiritual warfare is real. And one important way that we're involved in the spiritual warfare is this. It's our third truth this morning. which is that prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. Daniel's prayers have somehow involved him in the spiritual battle. Just look down at verse 12 again. This amazing figure, this man in linen, says to Daniel, "Don't be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them." You might remember that Daniel has been praying and he's been half fasting for how long, can you remember? For 3 weeks. And he's been saying to God, "Lord, what's going on? Are your people going to be okay?" And God heard his prayers immediately, and he sent this man in linen to explain the future to Daniel. Daniel's about to be given this vision that will explain God's plan for his people. We're going to see it next Sunday. But verse 13, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted the man in linen for 21 days. So this demonic figure, that the prince of Persia, fought for 21 days. Now, how many weeks is 21 days? 7, 14, 21. It's 3 weeks, isn't it? It's exactly the amount of time that Daniel has been praying. Daniel's 3 weeks of prayer have somehow helped the man in linen and Michael, the archangel, to fight this demonic figure, the prince of Persia. Daniel's prayers somehow have involved him in this spiritual warfare. It's quite a thought, isn't it? Daniel praying would have looked very ordinary, very normal, just like you or me praying. And yet his prayers were somehow having an effect on this spiritual warfare going on. Daniel loves God, he loves God's people, and he prays for God's people. And prayer is a very powerful thing. All of us in this room, all of us in this world, are on one of two sides. Either we're on God's side, or we're on the other side. We're on Satan's side. There's no middle ground. There's no sitting on the fence. And if we're with God, we will be people who pray. Jesus came to move people from Satan's side over to God's side. That's why he came. Later in the New Testament, it says that Jesus came to open people's eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among his people. And it might be that you're here today and you haven't yet come to Jesus. Well, you must, because he will move you from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God. And then he'll put you to work praying for the spread of his kingdom. Prayer is very powerful. There's a famous Christian book called Pilgrim's Progress, and you may have come across it. It uses picture language to describe being a Christian, and it describes it as a journey, and the hero is called Christian. And the book is about Christian traveling through danger all the way to God's city, which stands for eternal life. And at one point, Christian is walking down a dark valley, the valley of the shadow of death. And the book says, about the middle of the valley and close to the path, Christian saw the mouth of hell. And now he wondered what to do. Every so often, the flame and the smoke would belch out thickly, and there were sparks and hideous noises. And Christian, who is dressed in armor and has a sword, Christian realizes that his weapon, his sword, can't help him here. So the book carries on and it says, so Christian was forced to sheathe his sword and to take up another weapon. And this other weapon is a powerful weapon. And this new weapon can help where his sword couldn't help. And the name of this other weapon is all prayer. And we see that Christian has to depend on God through prayer. Prayer is very powerful. Now, if we're not thinking rightly, church can seem boring at times. But in reality, it is the opposite of boring. When you trust in Jesus, he brings you to God. He brings you to the most glorious person in the entire universe. If you were to see him now, it would almost kill you. Or in fact, it probably would kill you to see him. He is glorious. And trusting in Jesus makes us safe. It means that we can have a friendship with this God. And it involves us in this spiritual battle. If you're a Christian here today, you are in a fierce, invisible spiritual war. And we fight that war through prayer. So let's be a church that keeps praying. I wonder how praying is going for you at the moment. Do you pray when you're alone at home? Maybe you pray when you meet with your small group here at church. Maybe you've been to the prayer meeting, which we have once a month. We pray when we gather together like this, don't we, on Sundays. Let's be a church that prays. Do you think about coming on Wednesday evening? It's the only meeting in our church program where we simply pray. Do you think about joining us on Wednesday? Maybe you don't feel confident about praying out loud. That's fine. You can just listen. You can say amen at the end. I know sometimes something important comes up, something with work, or maybe you have to stay at home to look after the children. That's okay. Maybe it's hard coming out after dark. But please don't miss the prayer meeting because you think it's not important. It couldn't be more important. Why don't we pray now? His body was like a gemstone, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of polished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Lord God, we praise you that you are glorious. And we praise you that through trusting Jesus, we can be on your side, we can be on the winning side. We pray that you'd help us to serve you and to pray and to spread the message of your kingdom. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.